Welcome to the Dry Bones Ministries podcast, where we strive to provide great preaching and teaching so that listeners will discover or rediscover the goodness, truth, and beauty of our Catholic faith. If you are interested in supporting the work we are doing, visit us at drybonespgh.org or follow us on social media at drybonespgh. Thanks for joining us. We hope that you're inspired, uplifted, and encouraged. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Dry Bones Ministries special podcast series on 33 Days to Merciful Love. My name is Father Adam Potter, and today is day 21. We're finishing up the third week of this offering and the second part of the offering. So let's pray, asking the Holy Spirit to come and fill each and every one of us with the fire of His love. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, and kindle in them the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. Let us pray. O God, who have taught the hearts of the faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant that in the same Spirit we may be truly wise and ever rejoice in His consolation. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Day 21, the Offering, Part 2. Yesterday we covered the first four paragraphs of the text of the Offering to Merciful Love. Today we'll read the remaining paragraphs, which begin with the topic of suffering. Quote, I thank you, O my God, for all the graces you have granted me, especially the grace of making me pass through the crucible of suffering. It is with joy I shall contemplate you on the last day carrying the scepter of your cross, since you deigned to give me a share in this very precious cross. I hope in heaven to resemble you and to see shining in my glorified body the sacred stigmata of your passion. End quote. Here, Thérèse speaks of suffering as a grace. That's because she understands that suffering can help unite us to our crucified Savior. But hers is not the unhealthy preoccupation with suffering that marked her early religious life. Rather, the focus in this paragraph is not on seeking out suffering, but rather on accepting the suffering that God will choose for her. Accepting such suffering becomes easier when we learn from Thérèse just how loving and tender God really is. For instance, she tells us that God cannot desire useless sufferings for us, and that He even shields His eyes whenever we must endure it, because He doesn't want to have to see us suffer. Quote, after earth's exile, I hope to go and enjoy you in the fatherland, but I do not want to lay up merits for heaven. I want to work for your love alone, with the one purpose of pleasing you, consoling your sacred heart and saving souls who will love you eternally. End quote. As we learned earlier, Thérèse's way is not that of merit, but of mercy and of love. In fact, we just read that her focus is on being merciful to Jesus and to her neighbor. In the next paragraph, it's clear why she doesn't worry about merits. Quote, in the evening of this life, I shall appear before you with empty hands, for I do not ask you, Lord, to count my works. All your justice is stained in your eyes. I wish then to be clothed in your own justice and to receive from your love the eternal possession of yourself. I want no other throne, no other crown, but you, my beloved. End quote. So, not wanting to gather merits with downward facing, grasping hands, Thérèse wants to appear before the Lord with upward facing, poor and empty hands that are ready to receive God's gift of Himself. And again, she's not worried, even if, along with her empty hands, she's full of weaknesses and imperfections, she does not fear. Why not? Well, because she knows this about God. Quote, time is nothing in your eyes, and a single day is like a thousand years. You can, then, in one instant, prepare me to appear before you. End quote. Yes, He can do it. Simply recall what Thérèse had told her novice, Sister Marie of the Trinity, who had asked if even she could hope to get to heaven right away after dying. Thérèse had responded, yes, God is so good. He will know how He can come and get you. he can get Sister Marie, Saint Therese, and all little souls by preparing us in one instant to appear before him. And so without any fear, Therese comes to the offering itself. Quote, in order to live in one single act of perfect love, I offer myself as a victim of Holocaust to your merciful love, asking you to consume me incessantly, allowing the waves of infinite tenderness shut up within you to overflow into my soul, and that thus I may become a martyr of your love, O my God. End quote. Ah, yes, in offering herself to merciful love and not justice, Therese opens herself to receive not waves of infinite harshness, but infinite tenderness. All right, but what does this have to do with living in one single act of perfect love? We'll learn more about that in Appendix 1. For now, however, on to martyrdom. Quote, may this martyrdom, after having prepared me to appear before you, finally cause me to die, and may my soul take its flight without any delay into the eternal embrace of your merciful love. End quote. Death and martyrdom? That sounds scary. Don't worry. To die of love is a beautiful thing. It's the way the Lord knows how he can come and get little souls at the end of their lives. Specifically, he'll lift the veil of his glory and approach us at the end with such a beautiful radiance of love and mercy that we won't be able to stand it. We'll long for him so ardently at that moment that our souls will, so to speak, pop out of our bodies and fly directly and immediately, without having to go through purgatory, into the embrace of his love. That's the martyrdom of love, a martyrdom that, according to St. John of the Cross, is very gentle and very sweet, sweeter and more gentle than our whole spiritual life on earth. But until that blessed moment, Therese will continue to offer herself to merciful love. Quote, I want, O my beloved, at each beat of my heart to renew this offering to you an infinite number of times, until the shadows having disappeared, I may be able to tell you of my love in an eternal face-to-face. End quote. Now, while I don't yet have a method for renewing the offering to merciful love at each beat of my heart, I can recommend an easy method for renewing it at each breath. See Appendix 1. All right, so let's spend the day reflecting on the 6 paragraphs of the offering that we covered today. Then beginning tomorrow, we'll spend one full week in an Advent-like time of hope-filled darkness before reviewing everything we've learned and then actually making the offering. Today's prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, fire of mercy, fill my heart with a deeper and deeper longing for God, even unto the martyrdom of love. All right, there is the second part of the offering. And I would like to encourage you, just as Father Gately did, to go back and read those paragraphs and, yeah, take some time to really appreciate what Therese is emphasizing, this full and confident understanding of who God is, despite my own experience or my own perception, and to be able to still trust that he is good, kind, loving, and gentle, even if my whole life is filled with difficulty, chaos, uncertainty, and suffering, that I know that God is good and present in the midst of it all, and to be able to desire in that confidence that by accepting, surrendering, and praising and thanking God in the midst of these moments, that we can truly console Jesus, not for any merit that we can obtain, but because we want to love him for who he is, for everything that he's offered us in his merciful love. Can we not then respond with our own hearts and our own love and our own attention to offer myself as a victim of Holocaust to your merciful love? Is not scary, again, because of the infinite tenderness of who God is that invites us to be caught up in a wholehearted love of who he is. And here, maybe just to appeal to human experience, do we not know this in the experience of two hearts that are in love with one another? That whenever there is this attraction, whenever there is this affection and affinity, there's this willingness that no matter what I have to do, for the other. I'm willing to endure it. And in that, just to appreciate, this is the consecration, to see the heart of love that the Father is offered in His Son, and to be captivated by that, by it, so that I can respond even unto folly with accepting even the greatest of offerings, the greatest of martyrdoms, to prove and to show my love for Him. And then at the very end, this incredible desire that my beloved, at each beat of my heart, I desire to renew this offering to you an infinite number of times, until the shadows having disappeared, I may be able to tell you of my love in an eternal face-to-face. With that, Father Gately invites us to see Appendix 1. And that is where I want to spend just a couple minutes encouraging everyone to take the time to really read Appendix 1. This is really one of the most incredible concrete applications to how to live it. And it's so powerful. And it's a longer section, so I'm not going to have time to read it all. I'll leave that to you. But here's what I'll emphasize. In a practical way of learning how to apply and to live out this this consecration, he invites us to consider that Jesus invites us not only to trust Him, but to love Him. And Father Gately makes the distinction between, you know, it's one thing to trust another person, but that doesn't necessarily imply loving. You can trust your professor. You can trust your doctor. You can trust your Uber driver. That hopefully doesn't necessitate love. But with Jesus, He invites us to a trust that is a reflection of our love. And to really come to see the economy, the desire of God, that He intentionally allows Himself to be loved. He intentionally allows Himself to be even needy. And of course, in the distinctions of knowing who God is in and of Himself, He is perfect, whole, and content all to Himself forever in eternity, experiencing the fullness of life and love in this Trinitarian communion of love. But what does love do? Love desires communion. And communion is not just a one-way street. Of course, we know this. Can you imagine having a relationship at all meaningful with someone if it's only one way? That's only the other who speaks, the other who acts, the other who forgives, the other who loves, the other who serves, the other who is present, and you just receive, receive, receive. It's like, no, of course, any meaningful relationship necessitates mutuality, reciprocity. And so Jesus, in the incarnation, takes on a human heart that is, by the very fact of the incarnation, it is an incredible risk. He allows Himself to be fully vulnerable. On the one hand, yes, to be known and seen and received and loved by millions of faithful, but rejected by how many more millions? And that vulnerability is what then we see reveals an even deeper insight into this love of God. It's a love that gives itself unconditionally, even to the point of sacrifice and risk. And so for us to respond to that, that's the idea of consoling the heart of Jesus, to be able to love Him, be attentive to Him in the midst of our own lives, every moment, but especially the trials. We can be there with Jesus on the cross, with the Blessed Mother, with the beloved disciple, loving Him and consoling Him. And it's not as if it's like, yeah, that's kind of good for us. Like, it's beneficial that we can be present to the God who loves. It also is able to benefit Him, to console Him. And it's hard to talk like that in a perhaps like theological sense. But when we talk on the sense of love, that is incarnate, we see that, yeah, he's not an automaton. He's not just pure divine spirit, but in his humanity, he takes on this ability to not only give, but also to receive. So here's where the three words on page 61 and then into 161 and following are just really powerful to like, okay, great, great. I'm following you theologically, spiritually. How do I do that? And the reflection is on these three words, ecce, fiat, magnificat. Ecce comes from the Blessed Mother's response to the angel Gabriel. Behold, that's what ecce means. Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. So ecce really means here I am. It's a word used in Latin whenever candidates for the priesthood present themselves. That in Latin, the word is not ready, qualified. It's like ecce, like ecce sum, like here I am. Like behold, I'm not perfect. I'm not ready. I'm not qualified. But I'm here to receive that, the grace, this true grace of ordination. So for us, right, this invitation is in our own lives, no matter what we're going through, that we might present ourselves to God. Not because we have our whole lives figured out, not because we have the relationship with God figured out, but to be present to him who always is seeking for a heart to be present to him and to console him. And then the next word is fiat. Comes from Mary's response at the Annunciation. She not only says, behold, here I am, the handmaid of the Lord. She also says, fiat mihi, let it be done to me according to your word, according to your will. And so that is this next part of to present ourselves to God. And then the fiat, a little different than Mary saying yes to God's will of receiving the word to be made flesh in her womb. We say fiat to receive God's mercy, to receive God's grace. It's in this moment of especially our littleness, our poverty, our weakness, where we say ecce, fiat. Here I am in my struggles, fiat. May you open up, Father Gately says, may you open up the floodgates, the ocean of your merciful love, as if it's hanging right above our heads. Open the floodgates of your merciful love to be poured out into my entire being. And there, as Therese will say, right, may it come down to the lowest part of our empty vessels to be filled with him, and that we might receive it in full. The last word, magnificat. Magnificat anima mea Dominum. This is the song of praise that Mary sings to her cousin Elizabeth. My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. And so this is this like third response or offering that we would make to God in the midst of, after first presenting ourselves, after second receiving this outpouring of his merciful love, now we praise him. Now we thank him. This is that Father Seraphim's insights into, you want to know how to live trust? Praise God at every moment. You want to learn how to trust in the Lord, how to surrender? Always give thanks to God in every circumstance. And so that Father Gately puts then together in this page 164, Mary's words applied to breathing. And so I invite you to read it all and to, yeah, really take to heart this invitation. Like, this is life transforming to be able to make this conversation, but then to incorporate it into our lives. That we would breathe out, and in that outward breath, experience an emptiness in our lungs. That comes to this point of even desperation, that I cannot hold this too long before I would pass out. So it's in that emptiness that I would say, ecce, behold, here I am. Here's my life. Here's my situation. Here's my relationship. Here's my family. Here's my job. Here's my desires. Here's my past, whatever it is, right? And then from that ecce, ecce, and then we would breathe in. I would say fiat, Because it's in the breathing in that we say, be it done to me, right? May your merciful love be poured into my life, poured into my heart and soul to the lowest recess of my poverty and littleness. And then the last breath out is Magnificat. That once we've presented ourselves in the emptiness, we breathe in his merciful love. That now, after receiving that incredible gift, we're free to praise. We're free to thank the Lord for being with us and giving us his love and his presence in the midst of our lives. So please take time to read Appendix 1, and please take time to prayerfully incorporate this. You can do this at any time to really make of yourself an offering to the Lord, to trust in him and find this way to live out the offering to merciful love, not only at every heartbeat, but at every breath. So let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, fire of mercy, fill my heart with a deeper and deeper longing for God, even unto the martyrdom of love. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you all. I give thanks to God for each and every one of you and your own persistence and commitment to this. Let's keep each other in prayer, and I look forward to seeing you tomorrow. Peace. Thank you for joining us for this episode. To learn more about Dry Bones Ministries events and initiatives, and to support this podcast, go to drybonespgh.org. Thanks, and God bless you.